Okay, good afternoon. We have a lot to catch up with here on Daf Hey, and this year is to be dedicated for Refuah Shleima for Margalit Elisha Batrus Naomi, Refuah Shleima. And we, yesterday, were talking about the different understandings of what is the Mechayev of Magal Galum Elo V'Sakol. And the big issue, the big question that is implicit in the Rishonim, some are more explicit about it, some are less so, but to put them in a framework, is that to just say Nene is the key to everything is a little problematic. And really for two reasons. There are two issues that are problematic about saying Nene is the source of the Chiyuv. Okay, the case in our Mishnah is a little bit of a variation on the previous Mishnah, and maybe in a crucial way. You have somebody who shares a chatzar with another person, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven builds more onto a wall than he has to. They need a wall anyway because of Hezek Re'iah, so they have this shared wall, but that only requires Dalet Amos. Reuven, however, is interested in going more than Dalet Amos, so Shimon doesn't necessarily have to share in that because that is not obviously a part of the Hezek Re'iah Chiyuv. So on the surface, the Mishnah describes three scenarios separate from all questions of Ne'amanus, which the Mishnah also talks about, but the Mishnah talks about three scenarios as far as establishing Chiyuv or lack of Chiyuv. So they all have to share in the basic Dalet Amos, because that's Hezek Re'iah, that's the normal obligation for a shared Chatzar. If Reuven wants to go past Dalet Amos, so then Shimon does not necessarily have to share in that if he's not interested. But scenario three is that Shimon has displayed that he is somehow interested. How has he displayed that? Because he builds his own extra wall that will seemingly make use of this new wall that Reuven built. So if that's the case, so then he has revealed his interest in the wall that Reuven built. And that act of revealing interest, Gilui Das, we'll see is a significant part of the explanation, but it's not the explanation itself. That plays a role in everyone's explanation of what's going on, but it doesn't tell us itself what it is that is going on. So the question is, the Mishnah tells us that the halacha in that case is that we make Shimon pay half the cost, Magal Galum Elo V'Sakol. And the question is, why? So on the surface, you could say, well, it's a nana that he is benefiting from Reuven's work here, benefiting from Reuven's expense, his outlay. So therefore, it makes sense that he should also have to pay his part. However, the Rishonim have at least two problems with this, either implicitly or explicitly. There are at least two problems. What are the two problems? So help me out. What are the two problems that the Rishonim seem to have here? With just saying that this is Nene? Yeah, Max?
At least one of them is that the Nene hasn't happened yet.
Okay, so that's a big one, right? That it hasn't happened, right? So why should I have to pay for something that I have not yet benefited from? So that's a big question that some of the Rishonim are struggling with. And another one that's more technical.
Yeah.
It seems to be Zelo Chaser. Because Reuven is using this wall himself. So everything that Reuven is doing, he would have to do anyway. So the fact that Shimon benefits from it, okay, but he benefits from it in a way that doesn't cost Reuven anything. And normally the klal is, it's debate in the Gemara in the second part of Bava. But what is established is Zenene Vezelo Chaser is Potter. So that seems to pose a problem here as well. And indeed, the Gemara over there, Bava Kamma, had invoked the previous Mishnah on Dalet Amud Beis as a proof in that discussion. The Gemara had said that seems to show us that Zenana Vizet Lo Chaser is Chayiv, because in the case there, we had the three walls surrounding somebody's property, and the guy being surrounded in the middle then ends up totally covered with a fourth wall. So the Gemara there raised the issue that seems to be driven by Nene, but also isn't it Zen Nene Vizelo Chaser? So the Gemara has a way of saying, no, it's actually is Chaser, because it caused an extra expense in order to encompass him. So essentially, in that context, the Gemara says that in order for that to work, we have to call it Chaser. So what are we going to do here? Here it doesn't sound like it is chaser, right? It sounds like this is the wall this guy built. So why is there any chisar in here? So that's also the issue that troubles Rishonim. So because of these two problems, Rishonim are pushed to try to understand what is going on here. What is the nature of the chiyuv? Is it still neneh? And then we have to fill in the blanks here to figure out how to make it work. Or should we search for another answer and say that it's not neneh, it's happening through something else? And maybe they're both true. Maybe something else is helping to both be mechayiv and fill in some of the blanks here to ultimately make neneh work. We also emphasize, just as far as understanding the qualitative difference and an extra height here, that we could really make, it's not just a question of degrees, a few inches more, a few inches less, but that there are qualitative distinctions that Hezek Re'iyo requires only Dalet Amos. So Dalet Amos translates to at least 6 feet, between 6 to 8 feet. So if it's 6 feet, for example, so then we see that it satisfies for Hezek Re'iyo, it's going to block most people's vision, but it's not going to do much more than that. When you only have 6 feet, so you can't put a roof because you're not going to be able to have people comfortably or maybe even possibly at all within your room if your roof is over 6 feet, only 6 feet. So then to make it roofable, it would have to be something closer to 10 feet, which is the average height of the story. So that makes a significant difference. So basically, just to fill in this important understanding in the Mishnah, when Shimon says, I want to make a roof, I'm showing you that I want to make a roof, saying I want to make a roof means I am happy with the difference between a 6 foot fence and a 10 foot wall, meaning that the Hezek Re'iyo wall, I'm telling you I want more than a Hezek Re'iyo wall, because the Hezek Re'iyo wall of 6 feet would not be sufficient for a roof. So by declaring intention to make a roof, I am making the announcement that I'm happy that there is a wall here that is significantly higher than Hezek Re'iyo requires. So, okay, so he's declared his intention to do that. Now he's declared that he is happy with the fact that there was extra expense put into this wall. So what? Okay, so he's nene, but hasn't been nene yet. And what about Zanene Vazelo Chasu? So we saw yesterday that we could categorize the different answers in three ways. One way is to say that, is to kind of push the question off the table and say, well, maybe it is a chisar, similar to what the Gemara in Bava Kamma did about the previous Mishnah. But it's a bigger stretch because we have to figure out how there is a chisar in here. And we weren't really able to fully appreciate exactly what Tosfos is getting at, but this is the second answer in Tosfos and our daf, saying that maybe there is a chisar because now he needs more Hezek Re'iyo protection. Again, we don't know exactly how that really plays out, but it represents an approach of saying, let's get around the question, that we'll leave it as a nene situation, a situation of zen nene v'zeh chaser, and we have to somehow see it in that framework. The second approach is really the first answer in Tosfos, and it's also stated in Tosfos in Bava Kamma as well, that there's a big chiddush in zenene v'zeh lo chaser patur. That's only true when there's no gilui das on the part of the beneficiary. But if the beneficiary shows that he's happy about what's happening, so then, different story. So then, he now is chayiv, even though zenene v'zeh lo chaser is normally patur. That's a big chiddush, and maybe not everyone holds from that chiddush. So we saw today, before, that the Ktzos quotes at the Yamshul Shlomo in Bava Kamma in the second parak, argues on that Tosfos, and just says straight out, there's no such thing. Zenene v'zeh chaser, v'zeh lo chaser is patur, even with Gilui Das. Gilui Das does not change it. And we're going to need a different answer. And the Demuki Yosef that we looked at yesterday doesn't say that straight out, but we can assume that the Demuki Yosef was also in that camp, that the Nebuka Yosef also thinks that Gili Das does not make a difference, and that one is still Pater if it's then Nenev Zelochasu. And as the Sukkos David points out, that's consistent with Nebuka Yosef in Bava Kamma on that Sugya, because there the Nebuka Yosef discusses the position of the Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah says that the din in the Gemara is Hadar v'chatzir chavero shol meidaito. Somebody ends up sleeping in somebody's guest room without their permission. And we have to abstract it to a situation where there was no other cost or no other reason to call it a chisar, and it just ended up getting the benefit of lodging without impacting Reuven in any way. So then there's no basis for Reuven to charge for that. That's the din the Gemara is talking about. So the Yad Ramah discusses, what if we know that this guy who slept there would have been happy to pay? How do we know? Because maybe there was actually a mix-up. He had rented a room from this guy Reuven and was ready to pay Reuven. But it turned out by mistake that he slept in Shimon's house. So same scenario as far as Shimon is concerned. But all we've added to the equation is that he has expressed his willingness to pay for the night's lodging. And let's assume it's a comparable house, exact kind of same scenario. It's a neighbor. They just went into the wrong house, the exact same setup on the same block with everything else matching. He expressed that he was ready to pay for that. So does that matter? So there, the Nebuka Yosef endorses the position. It doesn't matter. That even with the Gili Das, he still doesn't have to pay. So, therefore, they're forced to come up with a different approach. Now, before going over that other approach, so we try to understand the Chiddush of Tosfos is indeed a pretty big Chiddush, right? Why should it matter? Right? Presumably, if you say that you're putter from paying somebody who doesn't lose anything when he is mahani and when he benefits you, so why does your Gili Das matter? It goes back to that story I mentioned about the Japanese judge where the baker wanted to charge the poor person who bragged about smelling his baked goods. And the baker wanted to charge it. So, you know, was he relying on the Gili Das, the fact that the guy said how happy he was to start off every day smelling his baked goods, and that's why he felt he had justification to charge him? Does that make any difference? And in the chush that we all had in that story, that the baker has no right to charge for this, did it change because the poor person was going around saying, I love every day being able to smell these baked goods? Does that matter? Presumably not, right? So why should it matter? So we tried to explain really in two ways. One way is to say that really lo chaser is actually more of an indication than a real reason. That in Lundisha terms you'd call it a simen rather than a siva. That in general, we have here a spectrum of what you're obligated to pay for and what you're not obligated to pay for. And we were talking about this a little bit during Seder. You know, how do you understand the chiyuv of nene when it does apply? Where does that din come from? So really, it's an extension of the normal dine mominus that you have when you buy something, so you have to pay for it. When you rent something, you have to pay for it. In general, if I'm taking somebody else's stuff, even temporarily, so then, and certainly permanently, so then I have to pay for it. That's the implicit understanding of how the world works, and failing to do so is gezel. The question is, what happens when things get a little bit iffy, when things get a little bit ephemeral? So I am benefiting from you in a way that is somewhere in between. So is that also called taking from you? So that's where we got to draw the line and say, well, maybe if there's no chisarin at all, if the original benefactor, the mahana, is in the exact same place before and after, there's nothing different about his life than the fact that you're benefiting from it, that's where we draw the line. Because we know we got to draw the line somewhere, right? We know that charging everybody who walks past your nice house because they admire your house as they walk past doesn't make sense. We know that there are some hanas that just are there and that it doesn't make sense to charge anybody. So we have to draw the line somewhere. So it makes sense to say that when there's no cost to the benefactor, that's where the line is. But maybe things could shift it. So it's really, it's not about the lack of chisaron as much as that shows that it's not quantifiable, it's not significant. But when you see that the beneficiary is actively doing things to make use of it, then that is machshavit as a chargeable hana, and then that becomes the more relevant indicator. Perhaps that's what Tosfos is saying. Hi.
Well, it seems that, I think this is what the Ramah with an aleph at the end of the
Ramah.
Yes.
It's a little counterintuitive from the language perspective, but the convention is, you would think the opposite just from the letters, but the convention is the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch with an aleph, we pronounce Ramah, and the Ramah with a hey, we pronounce Ramah.
I think he says that there is a charge that you can receive, as in even if the wall is, even if you don't have to pay for the wall, there's like a debar muet, like shechayu.
Just for the hana. Yeah.
Like just for the hana, which seems to be like a little bit of like a wrench in all this, because it's really...
When you're actively using it.
Well, he seems to say, this is my understanding, but it seems to be they're actively using it, because you haven't done any of the things that show that you're happy with it, but you're charged. You're not charged for half the wall, but you're charged for the wall's existence, because it provides some sort of minor benefit to you.
Right, so that actually leads into the second way to look at it. Because then the question is, when there is basically a shared benefit, so when there is something that costs money and the tzibur as a whole is benefiting from it, so then really, even though, yes, any individual, if he lived there by himself, would have to pay for everything on his own, but when it's really on behalf of a group, so then everyone should pay their fair share. And they could theoretically exist as a free rider, which this is one of the major philosophical, economic problems in general of societies, how to address what's known as the free rider problem and various other variations on it, that how do you get people to pay their fair share when it's theoretically possible for them to get all the benefits of society without necessarily doing that. But it ends up costing the people who are willing to carry their weight. So that ultimately turns into a chisaron. That if, yes, I lived on an island by myself, there's certain things I would have to pay for 100%. But if there are things that 10 people lived on an island, they would all need, and one of them could, the same one could service all the 10. So really it makes sense that the 10 should be sharing the cost. And that we'd no logic to force one of the 10 to make all of it himself. So if he has to pay 10 when really pay all, when he could be paying a tenth, so essentially that is a chisar, even though he would have to do it for himself anyway. But if fairness should dictate he should only have to pay a tenth, so then that turns into a chisar. So when you show that this is something that you do benefit from, or as we were pointing out, when there are things that are evidently your need, you would have to pay a certain minimal cost because you just, everyone needs this much, right, which is an extension of what we discussed. You remember we saw one story about this, about the original Hezek Re'ia wall, right? That the reason you can't be mocho, or you can't say, listen, you don't build it, I'm fine without it, even if it's for your benefit, is because Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek established that, no, this is something that basically everyone needs. And therefore, if everyone needs it, it's only fair that you share. So here, it's being extended to other things also, but we're basically saying that if you have endorsed the fact that you're benefiting from this, so then it really should be a shared cost. And to not relieve the original builder of your part of the shared cost, it's a chisar. So it's a zenneh v'zeh chaser. So that's all working within the nenneh model. But we saw that the Nemuki Yosef was working off a different approach. And this morning we looked at the Nemuki Yosef, the Ketosin side, rather yesterday in the skill section we looked at the Nemuki Yosef side. Today we looked at the Ketosin side. So the Ketos, he discusses Marshal and the Tosfos. As Tosfos says, Zainana is the reason. Zainana v'zeh lo chaser is chayiv when it's giladas. And the Marshal says, no, it's not true. the nene b'dil chaser is always pater, giladas doesn't matter. So we need a different answer. So what does the Nimuki Yosef say? The Nimuki Yosef comes from a different direction here. And the Nimuki Yosef is also consistent, and this is where it comes up in the Shulchan Aruch here, because the Shulchan Aruch, even in the previous case, the case on Dalet Mibes, which was talking about the fourth wall, so there the Shulchan Aruch follows the model of the Rambam, that the wall was Davka in the shared space. And that the shared space is a big part of why there's a chiyuv to share the costs. Because it is specifically contingent and connected to the fact that the wall is shared between the two. So since the wall is shared between the two, so then it becomes the property of the two of them. And that is what triggers this responsibility for Shimon to have to pay for half of it. Now, it's a complex kind of kinyan, because basically what's happening here is it's a kinyan chatzer, that Shimon is acquiring it through his property. The wall is being built on his property, and that's what allows him to take possession. But it's not enough to say it's a kinyan chatzer. You need das of both parties. A kinyan in general is a means to an end. A kinyan is what affects the transfer of property between two parties. But you always need the willingness of both parties. Or almost always, except for exceptional circumstances. You basically need the willingness of both parties to have a kinyan between, to have a transfer of property between the two. In general, this is not our sugya right now, but the whole concept of various different kinyanim that we have many, many different kinyanim and halakha. Some are deraisa, some are drabanan, whole discussion. But as Reb Chaim explained, that basically, Chazanesh, different versions of this, basically property transfers between two people because the two people want to transfer their property. But we need some kind of representation of their das. It's really their das that transfers it. And we need some representation of that. So the various kinyanim that we have many, many different kinyanim in halacha. Some work differently than others. But the kinyanim are the symbol of the das of the parties. So we need the das to be there. So where does the das come from? So in this case, the das, we need to explain both halves. We need to explain how the makna has das, and we need to explain how the kona has das. So the Kona has das because of the Giloy das, the fact that he shows that he's interested in using this down the road. But he's not using it now, he's not nene now, but the fact that he displays that he's interested in using it, that's what creates the kinyan from his side. Now what about the Makne? So when did he have das? So here, it's interesting, he's basically a speculator. That he invested speculatively, he built this wall, and he had in mind that I know my neighbor someday may want this, and I'm holding on to that plan, and I'm building this al das that when that day comes, he's going to acquire it, and I'm makne it to him, and I'm going to therefore share the cost with him. So when that day comes, he will acquire it, so here my das is set up for that to happen. Now, when the Nimuki Yosef says that he has it that way, the Ksos we saw this morning adds a word, which is not Nimuki Yosef, that this happens retroactively. And presumably we need the retroactive part in order to establish the rate, because we assume that he pays half of the Hotzah, so he pays half of the outlay. So if he was just selling him half the wall, so let's say this happened 5 years after he built it. Then if he was just buying half the wall then, so then presumably we would have to assess, okay, what's the wall worth right now? And if you were to try to sell it, how much could you get? And that would be the rate. But we go to the rate of what originally was, because apparently it was set at that time. I'm selling you right now this wall. And you don't have to take on that burden until you show that you want it, but then it's retroactively pegged to that time. So that becomes the moment of sale. So the Yosef has that much. He also has more. He also has a little bit where he talks about the Tosefta that the Ramban also talks about. Even though the Ramban, we assumed, was in the Nene camp. Because the Ramban seems to be addressing the question of Nene also. But they both quote the Tosefta, where the Nimuki Yosef invokes it just to address the fact that still this is all in the future. So why should he be koneh it now? So he explains that why should he be koneh it once he starts his setting up the new wall? Why should the kenyan happen from then? He doesn't have a roof yet. And maybe when he has the roof, he won't actually end up putting the roof on this wall. So if he doesn't put the roof on this wall, then maybe he'll never end up wanting to have a portion of the wall. So that he addressed and says, no, he's still going to gain from the wall, because otherwise he'll have an open room. He'll have no wall there. So he needs the wall. Whether or not he actually puts his roof on the wall, that's not necessarily going to be so crucial. Now, the Ktzos filled in a little bit more about how this is happening, and about how the kinyan is happening. And essentially, the way a kinyan works is, let's say you go to the store and you buy a gallon of milk. So the storekeeper says, okay, here's your gallon of milk, and you say, thank you, you take it. So that's called meshicha. And when you take it, that's when you acquire ownership. And by acquiring ownership, so now you are chayiv to pay for it as a debt. The payment does not constitute the transfer. The transfer already happened when they gave it to you. But you have a debt to pay, because that was the terms. So you're obligated to pay for what you got. But the ownership comes with the meshicha. And the payment could be both before and after, but it's not going to define when the ownership happens. That's crucial, the halacha, for a couple of reasons. First of all, mechiras hametz is crucial, because if ownership only transferred with payment, we'd all be in big trouble with our chametz, because the chametz is not ever actually paid for in our circumstances. But theoretically, the plan was for him to pay for it after Pesach. And then if he decides not to pay for the rest of it, so he ends up giving it back. But it was his all of Pesach, because when he did all the other kinyanim, he took possession. If it was contingent on payment, we'd be in big trouble. So the payment does not affect the kinyan. The payment is a debt. The kinyan happens without it. And as the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses, the other direction also, if you pay first but don't take meshicha, so it's machlokas whether this is din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, but ownership only happens with the meshicha, even if the payment was in advance. And that may be a din d'rabbanan because of the concern that if I could sell you stuff and it becomes yours just because you paid me but I haven't given it to you yet, then I would be disincentivized against protecting it. I could say, Nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah, that you left your property that you bought from me in my house, and oh, well, nebuch, there was a fire in my attic, and it's all gone, and it's your problem, because you already paid for it, so you lost your property, and I don't owe you anything. So we don't want that to happen, so I made it that the transfer happens with Mashiach. Okay, so l'maisa, that Mashiach is what affects the kinyan, and then there's a debt to pay. So what's happening here is there is a contingent meshicha. Basically, the meshicha is a little bit harder to imagine a normal meshicha, because in metalplin you have something that moves, so I understand meshicha as I take it. Here, I'm putting this wall on your property. So what's the meshicha? The meshicha is you're showing that you want it there. The gilui das, as the Tzos explains, constitutes the Mashiach. And through that, that is how I, Shimon, have now purchased the wall and become chayiv to pay half of it. And it's all contingent, because I may never choose to do that. So when I build the other wall, the additional wall, so that's the Gilui Das. The Gilui Das equals Meshicha. And now I become obligated. We gave the comparison before of the minibar in a hotel. So the hotel wants you to be on the hook for more stuff. So they put a minibar in your hotel room. And basically the idea is somewhat similar to this. They're saying, we're leaving these items in your room, and if you never touch them, fine. You don't have to pay for anything. But we're thinking you may decide you want them, so if you should be Megali your Das and do a Mashiach, but here you don't, it's not just a Gila Das, an actual Mashiach. So if you...
And they have a motion sensor.
Right, so if you take the candy bar, you take the soda from the mini bar, so then that's the literal Mashiach. You don't just need a Gila Das, it's the literal Mashiach. And then you become Chayiv to pay for it at that moment. That's the Kenyan, so they agreed to let you take it. That's, you know, you have the Das Machne. They put this in your room on the understanding you might take it. But it's, again, it's a tentative because you may not take it. But they put it there on the potential you might want to take it. It's up to you to do the Mashiach on your own and take it. And if you do, so then you become Chayiv to pay. So there's somewhat of a parallel here also. This guy built the wall. He says, up to you if you want to take half of it. When that day comes that you want to take half of it, you become chayiv in the damim. And because it's a wall on your property, it's not like a candy bar and a mini bar, which you can just pick up and take. So the equivalent of the picking up and taking it is a declaration that you are interested. And the declaration is by building this additional wall. That is essentially what the Nimuki Yosef says with the explanation of the Ksos, a little bit more filled in from the Ksos. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with us? Okay, we also noted yesterday that the Ritva is interesting to try to consider where the Ritva fits in. Because what does the Ritva say? So the Ritva quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he has elements of three different parts. So we tried to consider just where to put him on a chart. Basically, the middle part is that he, again quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, has this element from the Nimuki Yosef also of acquiring half of the wall through his property. So that's the common element. Where the differences were before and after that was, first of all, he's asking the question. We don't know what question Nimuki Yosef is asking because he doesn't spell it out. The way the Ksos presents the whole story, he's using the Yamshel Shlomo's question that we don't recognize any exception to Zen Nen of Zelachas or Pater. Gilad Das doesn't change Zen Nen of Zelachas. So we need a different explanation. The Ritva's question was the other question we mentioned, that the Hana just hasn't happened yet. So it sounds like from the Ritva, sounds like he's not worried about the Lochasar issue. That Nene could work here. But you just don't have the Hana yet. It hasn't happened yet. So how are you being Mechayiv now based on a Hana that hasn't happened? So for that, he goes to this idea of you're acquiring half of the wall. So he also adds a phrase at the end, which just puts a little mystery into where exactly things are coming from, that he puts in the phrase that this is like asada hasuyalita. This is like a field that is set up for planting. So we know that phrase from the Gemara in Ksuvos and the Gemara in Bav Metzia as well. Where the Gemara in Bav Metzia had invoked this as a possible factor in terms of the din of Yored. That if somebody is Yored L'stei Chavero, somebody decides on his own to go do some improvement on somebody else's property, so to what extent can he send a bill? To what extent is he able to say, I expect you to pay me back for what I did for you? So if that's the case, so the Gemara says, well, a couple of scenarios and a couple of positions, but it makes a difference if it's a soda hasuyalita, if it's a field where we know that he's planning on planting there. So then it becomes stronger to make the case that the Yori can say, listen, I had good reason to think I'm acting on your behalf, that I was just doing what you were going to do anyway, and therefore I can expect to be paid. I saved you the cost. You were for sure going to do this. So now I did it, so the cost that you have, you would have had, should send to me. So, throwing that phrase into here, is he saying that you need Yored in order to explain this? Is that the idea that Yored is what is the Machayiv here? So basically, the neighbor was doing this on behalf of Shimon? No, probably not. It doesn't really fit the normal category of Yored. First of all, this isn't the kind of scenario where somebody just decided to do some speculative contracting. He didn't just decide to do work on behalf of somebody else and hope that he could charge for it. He was doing something for himself. He needs this wall too. He's just also hoping that he can include his neighbor in the project. It doesn't exactly match the scenarios of Yored, especially when you have these kind of mixed motives, which are not necessarily in that case. Right?
Well, you can say it's our second explanation of Nana, which is, I made something for everybody.
Right.
So you could say, yeah, does it fit Yored literally? But no. But it sort of fits in terms of, you know, I did something on your behalf, therefore I am owed.
So if you want to say, like we mentioned the possibility in the previous year, that Nana and Yored are connected then, right, which we needed to say for the previous Mishnah because there were Rishonim who invoked Yored in that context, even though the Gemara in Bava Kamma had said the previous Mishnah was about Nana. So we had to explain how could it be both, or why was the theory in Rishonim about Yored ignoring the Gemara about Nana. So we had a couple of approaches to that. One approach was they were just both necessary for different parts of the equation. But it could also be that maybe Yored and Nana could work together. That sometimes in order for there to be an established Nana, so you need the logic of Yored. So to hear, maybe the Ritva is saying that because we have to explain how can a future Nana work to be Mechayiv now, so the concept of Sada to Yasuyalita is operative to do that. Okay, so with all that, so there was more in the Ktos, but maybe we'll come back to that. We'll have to figure out how much we'll be able to cover here. But I mentioned also at the end yesterday, there's this beautiful Sefer Beis Reuven, really beautiful and quite comprehensive. We'll only be able to dip our toe in it. But being a Beis Reuven, but he has many practical cases specifically surrounding our Mishnah. So the two cases I left you with yesterday to think about, and we'll just have a few minutes for you to comment and to discuss. First case was you have Reuven and Shimon who live together in a shared house. So basically, this is a two-family house where they're side by side. So they have a roof that they share. And Reuven has decided he wants to expand. So on his half of the roof, he's built an additional floor. So he has a wall that he built there that's going to be between him and Shimon. So Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to pay right now. And the difference between that and our Mishnah is that the Mishnah talks about Shimon building something to create this chiyuv. Here, Shimon hasn't built anything. So what's the factor that makes the conversation start? So the factor is that Shimon has said on a number of occasions, Reuven says, Shimon has said a bunch of times, you know, when circumstances are right, I plan on building an expansion also. So Reuven said, listen, I know you told me that you plan on building an extra story here too. You'll need my wall then. So right now I want you to pay half. That was one question. Second scenario starts off a similar way, but Shimon says, even before Reuven does any building, he says, I'm not interested at all in paying for this, and I don't plan on building my own expansion. I want to hang out up there. So, yeah, we're going to need to have a maka, I need to have a safety fence around, and that's all I care about between me and you two, just a basic divider like that. So I'm not interested in sharing the costs with you of a fancy wall that you are planning on building. So I left with that thought yesterday. So let's say either case, what do you think? Who's right here? Does Reuven have the upper hand? Does Shimon have the upper hand? Max?
I'm not sure this is an answer, but just something that
I thought about this morning related to the first case, about going to the person and saying that you said before that you wanted this. In the Rambam, doesn't the Kesef Mishnah bring up a case where, like, if the wall falls, you should presume that he wanted, that he, what he wants is what he had before, but now we're saying that he can build a smaller wall. And the reason he explains that is because circumstances can change where he was rich and now he's poor. So similarly, there could be allowed for a case where if he said before that he wanted it, you can't really hold him to that now, and as such, he wouldn't have to do anything.
Okay, it's an important point. That certainly seems to be a difference between our Mishnah and this hypothetical case. Maybe it was a real case, but the Mishnah in this modern case. That the Gilui Das, clearly that's the connection between the two, right? You want to say there's a Gilui Das in both cases, but how do you know the Gilui Das is equivalent? That in the case described in the Mishnah, Shimon took a step towards a future project, and that's what is triggering at that time a Chiyuv. In the first case, we could say, yeah, I used to talk about it, you know, someday when I, if I have the money, and who knows, but that doesn't have any relevance right now, or maybe I changed my mind, and maybe I'll never have the money. So I agree that that's a weakness in comparing the two cases. So that is something significant. I know who was up first. So
oh, yes.
Jesse?
The Gilui Das also meant for an actual action as opposed to just talking about it.
Right, so it's an interesting question also. So, which also goes to a broader understanding of what Gilui Das here is. You know, does it mean that you have started to invoke your benefit somehow, even though it's interesting why we would care about an action? I mean, it's certainly a possibility as a distinction, but we have to figure out why it should matter. Because if it constituted the beginning of the Hana, so then that itself would certainly be a significant difference. But we saw the Rishonim had to struggle with that because it's not yet the Hana. So yes, it's more visible and demonstrative Gilui Das than just a statement. But it's interesting, we have to explore how much that should matter. Shmuel?
Say that, when, if I remember correctly, we compared the Gilui Das to like Kinyan Mishifa.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing that, presumably it would require something more physical.
Well, so that's interesting, except certainly within the Ksos, it's not necessarily true. I wonder if anyone else's, because the way the Ksos explained it, and really the way that he's built on the language of the Mukhi Yosef, the Gilui Das is not the Kinyan. Right? The Kinyan is Kinyan Chatzar. Right, that the fact that it's on your property is the kinyan. You need to do something in order to show that you want your chatzar to be kona. So there, should it matter whether the triggering of the kinyan chatzar is verbal or through an action? I have to see. I mean, maybe if it's debatable, so that should make a difference, right? If I could deny it, so then we get into issues of Dvarim Shebelev. And if I'm actually building, so then it's harder to deny. So that has a significance. Zach, what did you want to say?
Yes, he's still in my position.
Okay. Sorry? Well, Tosus doesn't invoke it, but the Mukiosis logic is based. Is based on Kinyan
Chatzar.
Toh is based on Nene. So it's based on Nene. So maybe Nene wouldn't rely on the Kinyan. So the question is, so now could Gilui Das count?
Based on the Kinyan.
Didn't.
That's what you're saying.
Half of it. Also saying, as far as that could also be true, but it's saying if it's, it depends on, well, so let's expand on that a little bit, because it's coming from a different direction. So in the interest of time, we do, which unfortunately is not infinite, but, so I'm going to read you his answer. Now, the way the Sefer is structured, so there is a briefer answer at the top. At the bottom, he has the Lumdus, which the Lumdus draws upon our sugya and the discussion. So I think what I will do is, tomorrow morning we'll have Parsha, we'll have to also make time for everything. Maybe I will copy this so that you can see his Lumdus tomorrow, and you can read that inside. But for now, I'll read you his answer, and that will bridge us between now and tomorrow. We'll be able to take from there. So the answer here is briefer. says, so Nakdim is a Hakdama, should say, Kibinidon Didon, Kasher Ruben, Bonus Akir, Shiafri, Ba'as, Vinil Shimon. When Ruben built this wall that's going to divide between them, Nitain Lachaibis Shim Lashalim Miyad, Mishnei Efanim. So it makes sense, it's possible, to obligate Shimon to pay immediately in two ways. Echad Midin Nana, one from the Halacha of Nana, and Beis Al Yidei Kinin Chatzah. And secondly, because he acquires it through his chatzah. V'nevar shnei hafanim. Let's explain them both. One, midin nene. So, midin nene nitan l'chayev. So, it's possible, theoretically, to charge midin nene. Echad kasher shimon nene v'fol. One is if Shimon is actively benefiting. Or beis kasher shimon gila daito d'nichale. When Shimon has revealed that he's happy about this. When he's shown through his actions that he is prepared to pay for this on Noah, despite the fact that right now he's not benefiting. That's A. A is Al Yidei Kinyan Chatzar, through his property acquiring. Since, as far as Kinyanim are concerned, the roof is like a Chatzar. Without getting into Hanukkah definitions of chutzah, but for kinyanim, it's your property. Imkein Ruven yochel haknos l'Shimon chelik mehakir. So therefore, Ruven can transfer over to Shimon a part of the wall al yidei kinyan chutzah through this kinyan. Achzarch das makne l'haknos v'darch kinyan liknos. Right, but we need das for both of them. We need the seller to have das, and we need the acquirer to have das. Mobachol kinyan, like in everything. V'lachenu tzrichim undana. So we need some self-evident factor here. Shachein das Ruven mahaknos v'das Shimon liknos. So we need to be able to establish with confidence that it's true in both directions, that Ruven wants to sell and Shimon wants to acquire. So v'nidon harishon, in the first case, l'fizeh, according to this, ho'ol v'ruven yodes kavanoso shel Shimon liknos. So since Ruven knew Shimon's desire to build, Shekach Omer b'mitzma hizdamiyus. That's what he said many times. Im came beratzon Ruvain v'haknos miyad es chatzi akir l'shimon k'dei l'kavol tashlum miyad. So Ruvain's das is to transfer it right away so that he can get paid right away. V'lachei nitan l'chayiv v'shimon l'shalom miyad t'muraso. So it's logical, it's reasonable to obligate Shimon to pay for its exchange. He wants to build the earliest opportunity. So therefore, his das is to acquire right away. Okay, so this is interesting because what you guys said was seemingly reasonable, that there's room to distinguish. So you see here, he so far does not distinguish. So again, the lumbus of the explanation, I will send around so I have an opportunity to read it, but the distinction that does seem reasonable doesn't necessarily have here. I would also add that I would think that part of the difference is that even if I didn't change my mind, right? I say, listen, I'm hoping someday will come that I want to build an expansion onto my house. Right? But right now, I may not be able to afford it at all. So I have nothing saved up for this expansion. So the fact that you are building and you want me to share in half of what you're doing, I can't. I'm sorry. Right now, I have to pay tuition. Maybe many years down the line, I'll be able to start talking about expansion. So the fact that I told you, oh yeah, I have these chalimis about expansion, why should that obligate me to share in your costs? It would be nice. If I win the lottery tomorrow, I will expand. But when you actually build another wall, so then you could say, now you're actually starting the project. So if you're starting the project, so then that's much more. That's not just about some dream that you may have someday. That's something that you have actually put into motion. Now, even though maybe Shimon will say, yeah, but I only have a little bit. So I only have enough for this wall. I don't have enough for everything. So I don't have enough to share in your wall. So then Reuven can say, that's not fair. Because I should have the right of the first investment. You know, that once you're going this far, so then you should also, before doing anything else, you should pay me for what I already laid out. So I would think there's room to significantly distinguish between the two cases. That when he just says, listen, I have dreams someday of expanding, so then in addition to the fact that he should have credibility to say, maybe I changed my mind, he should also credibly say, I didn't change my mind, but I'm just not in a position to do this right now, and I'm not doing anything else that gets me there. But when you build the wall, so then you're actually making other investments, and Reuven has more of a right to say, okay, listen, you're showing you want this, and once you're paying anything, you should pay me first, because I already laid out money for your benefit, and I should be the first one to receive. So I see more of a room to distinguish, but okay, so that's so far what we've seen. It goes on to say, however, in the second case, since Shimon has revealed his das the opposite way, he does not want a wall of brick, of rocks. All he needs is a very simple wall, like just kind of a divider. So therefore, he has no intent to acquire what was built. So Reuven, who knew that, also had no das to build it. And by the way, this the two das, the distinctions we said before, I could hear that half of it's true, right? Reuven, that he built it with das to be machne, that certainly is credible, that when thinking that Shimon someday is going to want to expand, so Reuven's das presumably is there. It's Shimon's das that we could question. But Reuven's das, that's that part we could relate to. Zim came here, but in this case, neither of them would have a mind to make the kinyan, because Shimon has said, I'm not interested. So all he has left is nana. No kinyan here. So achrach kasher Shimon yaseh samaykel hagag. So only when Shimon is going to then show he's going to benefit from it, because he can't benefit from it, as far as the Torah is concerned, he can't benefit from the roof until he walls it off from a safety perspective. So then he shows that he's ready to pay for the benefit of having a usable wall, usable roof. As Shimon is chayiv, then he should be chayiv kikeis ain't a nene b'fayil. But until he does that, he's not actually nene. So this theoretical future nene shouldn't have to pay for it. So yesh letzayin, he closes off here. Kirak b'shnei sheilev sanal hadin bar. Only in these two cases is it clear. V'lachein tzirachti osan. That's why I put them together. Kolaymer b'sheil echa bar sheish umdana. That in the first case, he says, it's clear that there is an umdana, that there is a self-evident situation here. V'sheil habeiz bar sheein umdana. The second one is clear there isn't. Aval v'shar hamikrim, in other situations, yesh lodun imesh umdana. Then I have more of a question if there's an umdana. So we, as noted here, we're not even so sure about the first case that there really is such a powerful umdana. So we will have to explore a little bit more. Okay, yeah, shakar. So we'll dab mincha. A quick word about mincha. I'll say that.